Welcome back to another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast, where we sit down to speak with the Ohio State Senior Vice President and Wolf Foundation Endowed Athletics Director to talk about the current state of OSU athletics. This is episode number 9. My name is Ben Waite, and I'm joined, as always, by our fearless leader, Mr. Gene Smith. This episode is obviously a little unique in the fact that we're recording from our respective homes due to the current state of the COVID-19 pandemic. So, Gene, first and foremost, how are you holding up? How's everyone doing?
Well, thank you, Ben, for doing this again and being our host. And we're holding up pretty good. You know, I'm blessed. Sheila, my wife, has done a marvelous job of, you know, keeping us organized and making sure that we are following the protocols we should be following to stay safe, and working with our extended family to make sure that they're all stocked up on the necessary items that they need from a hygiene point of view, as well as food. Obviously, with the meat shortage that's projected, she's been very creative in making sure our kids and grandkids are stocked up on meats and things. And so things are holding up. We have a routine we're staying to. I'm busy throughout the week, of course, but we try and work out every day. And on the weekends, try and get out for a drive and or a walk. And so it's holding up pretty good.
How has it been working remotely? You know, what's a typical work from home day look like for you?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I think that some of the activities, the technology that has evolved and become a part of our everyday lives now will probably continue to be used as we go back to some level of normalcy in our lives. And so every day for me, particularly Mondays, are almost back to back. Some type of Microsoft Teams or Skype or Zoom or sometimes periodically just a regular phone call. But my Mondays are pretty packed. And then it's each day after that, it's kind of sporadic. But I have full days. So it's just a matter of trying to make sure I get off one call and jump on the other. But I think the technology, and I have to compliment our IT staff, our video staff, and social media staff, and others in our department, as well as the institution for getting all this up and running in short order to allow us to be able to hold all these meetings. And I can see us doing this quite a bit, even from our offices, when we get back to work.
Yeah, I think everybody is fully prepared to keep zooming as far into the future as necessary. But how have you felt about our response so far, both in our department, but then on the university level as well?
Well, I think we've been blessed. You know, we have a tiered leadership in response to this. I think our governor's done an excellent job. He made some tough decisions early and then brought on experts to help him be informed in this decision-making process. And then I think our president and our leadership at the institution supporting him have done a great job as well. We were first in a lot of our restrictions and behaviors, and I think we've done well. So I think we're at that point now where we have mitigated the curve to a significant degree. We have an understanding of the things that we ultimately need to do in order to try and hopefully come back to work and then back to some activities. But it's a matter of timing now. I think we need to be careful in how we slide back in. But I think this understanding is really a direct result of our leadership, of being transparent, providing as much information as possible around the virus and the things that are occurring in the medical space. So I think we're doing well in Ohio. I think some other states are struggling. I feel bad for New York and others, but the reality is I think we're in a pretty good spot.
I know for me personally, it was quite the adjustment getting the whole work from home set up. You know, I built my own standing desk in our living room so I could keep an eye on the old football games that we were streaming on OhioStateBuckeyes.com. But how have you felt about how our department has responded to this new challenge or this new setup that we're all getting used to?
Well, I think, you know, the great thing about our department is our people are resilient, they work hard, and they're engaging and collaborative. And we have a few task forces that are working on different things, and they're all over the board relative to return to play, return to practice, tickets, or whatever it is. We have a number of them, and everyone's working diligently on budget operations and all those areas. So I feel good about everybody being focused. And ultimately, our objective is to make sure we have a plan that's ready to be activated once decisions are made. So I think that's where our department's done well. Our coaches have used the technology to continue to communicate with our student athletes and keep them engaged as best they can. And so I think our department's responded well. I've had some conversations with some of our staff and coaches who are our highest type A personalities, and they're chomping at the bits to get back. And I've been able to help, hopefully keep them patient and find other opportunities for them to blow off some steam, so to speak. I think everyone's responded well.
Yeah, there's a lot of caged animals around the central Ohio that are itching and ready to go.
We have in our department.
Absolutely. Absolutely. What's one lesson that you've learned throughout this? You know, it can either be professionally, personally, whatever, but one thing that has really resonated with you throughout this period?
Well, I think the character traits that we all have to employ in a different situation, in a different environment, the patience and, along with resolve is so important. You're restricted in a great way compared to what you historically have been able to do. So how do you make sure that from an emotional intelligence point of view, you stay focused and don't lose yourself in this new normal that we are dealing with today? You could lose yourself and your reasonableness and your ability to be rational if you don't stay focused and come up with a strategy to allow you to embrace where we are today. I've watched across the country, actually around the world, different activities that people employ, singing songs, playing music from balconies and rooftops, and then ultimately having Zoom cocktail parties and all those type of things, and trivia games. And so I think people have to come up with techniques and strategies to make sure that they maintain their focus and resolve relative to getting through this virus. And so that's kind of the one thing that I felt that, for me and my family, we really talked about. Let's not get down on where we are. Let's embrace it and figure out how we attack it.
Yeah, I feel like there are some friends that I've actually seen more now than I have in the 6 months leading up to this with our Zoom happy hours and stuff. And we do Sunday dinner with my in-laws each week, and those have not stopped.
And they probably won't stop.
No pandemic can stop Sunday dinner. But I know there's a lot still to play out, both here in Ohio, but across the country. If you had to broadly project, what do you think the landscape of college athletics is going to look like over the next year?
Well, I'm cautiously optimistic that we'll have an opportunity to return to practice and competition. Will it be different? No question. How we ensure that our student athletes are safe as they return to practice and actually just to work out in practice and then ultimately compete will be different. The hygiene act, behavior will be changed. All the type of things that we've done to a great degree in that space will probably be done at a higher level. And then if we have contests, what our stance will look like, I think we know will be different. Whether that's a result of protocols that we put in place or just individual decisions that our fans make, will be different. And so And I think we need to embrace that, need to understand that, and not be worried about it. I just believe that all the experts and all the talent and skill we have across this country, particularly in higher education, understands that there is a benefit to having sporting activities. And hopefully we can do that. But everyone knows that sporting activities can help create that camaraderie, that esprit de corps, help people just feel good about different things. And so, you know, I remember when the last dance on that first Sunday started, and it was what, 9 o'clock Eastern, and my children were texting me, and we were in this text conversation, and my daughter Summer in D.C. said, oh, this is strange. We're sitting here like it's the Super Bowl. It's like everyone's thirsting for sporting events. And so it's why the draft had such a high rating. So I think if we can find a way, I think all the intellectual capacity we have will allow us to hopefully have some sporting events. If the virus doesn't spike too significantly, I think we will find a way.
Yeah, I feel like everybody is grasping onto any semblance of sports they can at this point.
Yeah,
whether it's from 30 years ago or from, you know, even just a draft, right? How frequently have you been having conversations with your peers, the other athletic directors, both around the Big Ten, but then around the country as well?
Well, the Big Ten, whenever it started, seems like 5 weeks ago. We started with conference calls every day. So 7 days a week, every morning, 8:45 a.m. Eastern, our commissioner, Kevin Warren, conducted conference calls with us as ADs. And then we kind of went down to Mondays through Fridays. We killed the weekend calls. So we still do that. So every morning we have a call, different topics and actually one of them was with our football coaches. I think we've had two calls with our football coaches now, and should be another one coming up, talking about return to play. What would that look like? Return to practice, actually. What would that look like? So we have calls every morning, and we go through different initiatives. Obviously, NIL was a large part. Name, image, and likeness was a large part of our conversations. Sharing ideas on models, if we are able to return, what would our stadiums look like? What would be new best practices? Our ticket managers have been conducting calls relative to tickets. I've been fortunate as a result of co-chairing the NIL, Federal State Legislative Working Group. I've been fortunate to have broader conversations across the country with other ADs, and everyone's has the same concerns. Everyone has the same issues. And so I think at some point that conversation that we've all been having will ultimately come to some pyramid, and we'll have some understanding of what our future looks like. But it's been good to have all these conversations.
That's fantastic. And obviously one of the historic events that's happened throughout this was the NCAA allowing providing the blanket waiver for our spring sports seniors to come back. And obviously that's a first time that we're having to juggle something like that, but we're very excited about the opportunity for them to come back. How did we get to that point? And then how are we prepared for that return of those student athletes?
Well, you know, I'm really wanted to compliment our coaches and our compliance staff and sport administrators, because when we first understood that that was a possibility, we were kind of ahead of it. And actually, I remember it was a Monday night, the NCAA had its vote, and I think maybe 30 minutes after that call, we were able to get all of our spring sport coaches on the line and have a call. We had prepared them for the possibility. And so we had 70 student athletes who could potentially return. And we ended up, I think, with 31 that's planning to return. But one of the things that we talked about prior to the vote that our coaches socialized with our athletes was making sure that our athletes made a good decision. You know, some of them had jobs. And the reality is, you don't want to give up a good job that you've worked towards to maybe have one one spring semester of competing in your sport, especially if you're not going to necessarily go pro. Making sure that our coaches had good conversations with our athletes actually prior to the vote helped us quite a bit, because when the vote occurred, it allowed us to kind of get down to our actual numbers, because obviously 39 of our student athletes chose not to return and to pursue graduate school. There was another category. We had a number that were already going to graduate school. You've already been admitted, you went through the process, you wrote that essay, you're in where you wanted to go. Do you really want to defer? And so I think it worked well for us. Challenge for us in these financial times, it was hard, but we were able to come up with a strategy to fund them for the spring. So it worked well for us. Nationally, everyone did something differently. Even in our league, some schools did things differently, but we were fortunate to have our coaches work so good with our athletes in that space.
Yeah, I mean, in an environment where jobs seemingly are coming harder and harder to come by, those student athletes that had them lined up have to jump at that opportunity. Knowing that a large portion of that scholarship money comes from private support, how important is that private support going to be moving forward to ensure that we can fulfill these new scholarships that we have to cover, but also the other student athletes we have moving forward?
It's critical. You know, as we move into the future, our new world order, all of our historical revenue streams that have been strong will be hurt to some degree. You know, our ticket sales revenue is going to be down in some form or fashion. Our season tickets are moving better than I anticipated. But I do believe behavior will cause people to not maybe go to certain games or not buy concessions like they historically have. I think we're going to see more Uber/Lyft activity as opposed to driving your own car. Licensing revenue will probably go down because people won't be at the games longer to buy merchandise. I just see a number of things that will impact our revenue. So philanthropy, the people who support us through the Buckeye Club, who support us with our capital projects, they're so important to us. They've always been, but more critical now than ever. The Buckeye Club supports our scholarships. We have 418 scholarships, and if it weren't for the Buckeye Club, we couldn't afford to do what we do. Our scholarship budget for the academic year is about $22 million, $25 million overall when you add in the summer. But the $22 million is really where the Buckeye Club is just phenomenal. And so it's grown from, over the years because of the great work of Jordan Burkmeyer and Ben Waite and the staff. And we want to keep it growing because this time is going to be more critical than ever.
Certainly, yeah. I know we're going to be relying on Buckeye Nation coming together to make sure that we can all get through this together. But you mentioned previously that our coaches have been reaching out to their student athletes to keep in touch. How are we providing the resources that our student athletes need, whether it's to stay mentally healthy, physically healthy, socially? You know, how are we getting them everything that they need?
Yeah, first and foremost is that connection, and the coaches have done Zoom activities and to try and make sure that we still have that social interaction among teammates. And then some of our coaches have invited in speakers into their calls to continue to motivate and get people, continue to get them, keep them inspired with what they're all about. And then, you know, we've had some situations where coaches have actually done some type of activity, be it, you know, a trivia game or something of that nature, just to keep our kids active. We've had our sports psychologists on some of our Zoom calls with some of our teams just to give our kids some techniques that they can deal with so they don't get frustrated or depressed or things of that nature. So I think we've had great support from everyone in the department helping our coaches do what they need to do in that space. And you know, if we didn't have the IT and video services and social media people that we have, it would be really difficult. I put a compliance team early on. I led the charge in making sure that we were had clarity on what we could do in this technological digital space. And I think we were ahead of the game. We have a very proactive compliance department. They led the charge to help our coaches do what they're doing. We've been able to send some nutrition to some of our student athletes, trying to make sure, particularly our offensive line, stays where they need to be. So we've been able to do that. We've been able to send some apparatus, some rubber bands and things of that nature to kids who didn't have it. So we've been fortunate to be able to help them. I know football's had parents Zoom calls. Those parent engagement is critical. Some other sports probably have done the same. I'm just unaware of them. But we needed to make sure parents stayed engaged, helping their son or daughter keep the focus. So there's been a lot of activities that our coaches have employed in order to keep our athletes focused and help them stay motivated.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the huge shifts to that digital space was the NFL draft, as you mentioned previously, that was one of the few sporting things we had to look forward to. Our guys, another year of record-setting success, we had 10 guys go, and we moved into first place all time as far as guys taken in the first round. How do you think we've maintained that high level of guys that are going in the NFL draft each year, and what's that mean to our program?
Yeah, I think it starts with recruiting. You know, we always have had, historically, for a long time, outstanding athletes. And I think our recruiting across the board has improved over the years. And Urban started that. I think he took it to another level. And Ryan's been able to sustain that trajectory in the acquisition of talent. I think we were fortunate with our institutional academic profile went up every single year. It allowed us to get into some homes that we historically had not gotten into. When you think of the academics, talent of Jordan Fuller or Harry Miller, kids who were looking at Stanford. And so now we are truly at a place where we can go and recruit against anybody at all levels. And that's what Urban did. And then actually started with Trestle. JT did a great job. But Urban took it to another level. Ryan's taking it to another level. So starts with talent. Then our development program, our personal development program, our professional development program, all those things with Mickey Marotti and strength and conditioning, and our training staff, our athletic training staff, our leadership institute, our branding, teaching our kids between the ears what they need to do, allows them to go into an interview setting with scouts or NFL coaches or GMs and have articulate conversations about the game. And, people were surprised about Damon Arnett, but you put him on a board, chalkboard, he can roll. So I think it worked extremely well for us. We were blessed to have that talent, to have the development program, and I think they did a good job.
I want to get down to some of the, before we let you go, Gene, the real nitty gritty stuff here, because if everyone's working from home, I know you guys are you and your wife Sheila are sheltered in place. When you started to feel like we were going to be home for a while, what was the first thing that you guys stocked up on? What was the one thing you had to make sure that you had plenty of?
Well, Sheila seemed amazing, because as soon as this thing started, I think really before when it was actually even talked about, I think she early on could have probably opened up a store, but she just filled up our freezer with meats from Microblocks meat. She went online and just ordered chicken and salmon and some beef and stocked up. And then she went berserk on toilet paper and Lysol and all that type of stuff. And actually, she stocked up early. I mean, all of our cabinets and closets are full, and we got a little winter condo, so we have a little storage shed that's full. And I was trying to convince her to go old school to get some Spam, but she, didn't roll with me on that one. You know? I kind of grew up on spam and cheese. But
absolutely.
But anyway, she did the same for our kids. I mean, she did this. Our kids are stocked with all the hygiene things you need. So I can't say there was one thing in particular. I think it was a multitude that she went after.
Absolutely. It seems like the right approach. What's the thing you've missed most about your life pre-pandemic? Like, what's the first thing you're looking forward to do when we can get out in the world?
No, it's being back with people, just the interaction, just being with people and being around people. That's a huge part of what I'm all about. Being in the office and having people pop in and just going to a restaurant and being around people. So that's the thing I miss the most, is that social interaction. While this technology and this digital space is helpful, it's just not quite the same as opposed to sitting across the table from someone or being at a restaurant and people watching those type of things. I'm missing that, and I'm anxious for that to get back to that.
Have you guys picked up any new TV shows? This has been prime television watching for most of America.
Well, I never thought I'd be into Netflix. I mean, it's amazing. I've used it on my planes before when I was traveling, but you know, we've watched Succession. I thought that was a great one. Broadchurch, which is a little unique, it's a British deal. Now we're in season 3 of Ozark. We've watched both Narcos. Both Narcos were my favorite. Although Carlo Escobar was probably my favorite of all. So we finished off the Narcos, and now we're in season 3 of Ozark, and don't know what we're going to do after that. And there was another one, I can't remember the name of it, the first female millionaire in the country. It was a young lady, African-American, that developed hair products. I'm drawing a blank on the name of that one, but it was 5 or 6 episodes, and really good. So anyway, we've gotten into the Netflix world and we're trapped. And that's our evening activity is right now is Ozarks. I could not get into that Tiger. What was it? Tiger, whatever they call that.
Tiger King.
I tried. Tiger King. I couldn't do it. I was like, okay, I'm shallow. I can't get into it.
It's probably better for your mental health that you didn't, Gene. You know, there's a lot of things I learned on that show that I don't think I'll ever forget. But I'm glad to hear that you guys and your family are all doing well. We really appreciate you taking some time to sit down today. We're really happy we could do this.
Well, thank you, Ben. Appreciate all your hard work. And thank Buckeye Nation for all their support. And I want to give a shout out to all the people who are on the front lines, our nurses, our doctors, all the people, our police, everyone who's helping us get through this challenge. Thank you for all your hard work and your sacrifice. Go Bucks.
Go Bucks. Yeah, that does it for another episode of the Gene Smith Podcast. Thank you for joining us once again. We really appreciate everyone who listened and subscribed thus far. Like Gene said, we want to send our best wishes and our deepest gratitude to everybody that is on the front lines helping everyone get through this thing. And I know Buckeye Nation will get through it together. Until next time, we'd like to wish you all well and stay healthy and safe. For Gene Smith and everyone here at Ohio State Athletics, I'm Ben Waite. Be well and go Bucks.